Yosu's Spurscast, episode 577. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the Spurscast. Joining me for this episode, after the Spurs' opening night win against the New York Knicks for the 2019-20 season, is Project Spurs' writer Steven Anderson. Steven, how you doing, man?
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thanks for having me on. I know we're expecting a little rainstorm tonight, so should be fun.
Yeah, so Spurscast listeners, just a heads up, it is me and Steven recorded this at 8 o'clock Central Time in San Antonio, where there's supposed to be a crazy thunderstorm. I know that I keep getting those updates. Lightning was struck within 5 miles of where you live. So in case like this is just crazy and we like lose all the audio and then we have to come back, you all know why. I mean, Steven, in Amarillo, it's like snowing. It's like trending on number one on Twitter right now.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, it's snowing like crazy. So anyway, we're not here to talk about weather, although that could have an effect here on our Spurscast. We're going to go ahead and discuss this Spurs opening night win and then some of the latest news around their roster with some of their players. So let's begin, Steven, with this game against the Knicks on opening night. On Wednesday evening, the Spurs hosted the New York Knicks to begin the season. They get a victory, 120-111. It wasn't pretty. I think DeJounte Murray had the best word for it. He called it sloppy. You know, basically, it was like, almost like a roller coaster where you saw the Spurs playing well in the first half where they went up by 16 points at one time with 8:42 left in the second quarter. Then all of a sudden, you go to the third quarter, late in the third quarter, 2:44 left, and there are the Spurs down by 7 points to the Knicks. And this is a team that the Spurs were supposed to be pretty badly because they were a 10-point favorite, according to Vegas. But fourth quarter comes, the Spurs put it together. They're a veteran group. They outscored the Knicks 37-27 and pretty much had a pretty comfortable win there in like those last two or three minutes. The biggest issue for the Spurs all night was the turnovers, where they had 21, which cost them 32 points on the other end that the Knicks took advantage of. And then, you know, we're going to get into some of the player specifics in a little bit. LaMarcus Aldridge did lead the team in scoring with 22 points and also collected 8 rebounds. So, Steven, just give me some of your early thoughts on that victory for the Spurs.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, to say the least, for the Spurs, because as you said, Paul, DeJounte said it was very sloppy, and that's exactly what it was. 21 turnovers, 32 points for the Knicks off of those turnovers. And, you know, it's un-Spurs-like, at least on Pop's team, un-Spurs-like to have that many turnovers and actually win a game. I mean, Paul, you know, last season, the Spurs committed, I believe, it was like 19, 20 turnovers in the game. They would lose a lot of those games, whereas this time they actually got the win. But a big factor, as you said, is DeJounte Murray. DeJounte, as we had a whole season off, not because he wanted to, because he had the ACL injury. And obviously, we saw videos of him on Instagram working out. I believe it was like, about a month after his surgery, he was already like doing some workouts in the gym. So that just told you he was itching to get back. And he proved that to Pop during preseason, hence the extension that he got. We'll go into that later. But I mean, so DeJounte had the best game. I mean, what I expected from him, he picked up right where he left off from 2017, 18. It's been a while. So he picked off from where he left off. And I mean, 18 points, he hit the boards. He dished out to find his open teammates. He looked fantastic. And if that's the game that DeJounte is going to bring to the Spurs this season, the Spurs may surprise a lot of teams, a lot of analysts who have said the Spurs are not going to make the playoffs and all that other stuff, because I don't think they realize the level that DeJounte really brings to this team. I mean, I know we don't want to use that guy that went to the Clippers in the offseason, Kawhi Leonard's name, on this podcast anymore, but I mean...
I thought you were talking about Jermichael Green, Steven.
Oh, yeah, him too. We love Jermichael Green. Anyway, so yeah, we don't want to talk about him, but I mean, I hate to say it, but DeJounte's defense, especially when he got some of those steals, echoed Kawhi's defense. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying Kawhi's a damn good defender. He won Defensive Player of the Year twice in a row. There's nothing wrong with that. DeJounte was a massive piece missing in that defense last season for the Spurs. And after one game, you can see the difference he makes. Add in Bryn Forbes, who last season had a breakout year. I remember, I believe it was Jeff McDonald, the Express News, who was saying, you know, he's fighting for his starting spot because he knows it's not, at the time, it was not up for grabs. I mean, it was up for grabs, sorry. He knew that he needed to lock it in, and his play in preseason obviously helped because he's a starter. And by the way, he played on Wednesday night, 20 points, hit shots from three. He looked confident. That's a massive step forward for the Spurs. I mean, if you remember, Paul, you know, Danny Green had a massive year, breakout year that one time when he was first introduced with the Spurs. We all know what happened in the finals, all that good stuff. So he reminds me of like a Steph Curry, Danny Green type without Danny's defense, unfortunately. But I mean, he is a very solid shooter. Talk about the bench real quickly. getting into the bench role, Jakob Poeltl on the bench, I was a little skeptical. I'm not going to lie. I was a little skeptical when I saw the lineup Trey Lyles was starting. I was like, okay, Pop, I mean, it's an interesting move because Jakob was a solid piece next to L.A. last season. And you get Trey Lyles in that starting position, I was a little concerned. But seeing Jakob with that second unit, it just flows so well. I mean, Jakob is going to have a time in the paint against some of those some of the bigs on the bench for some of these teams. Trey Lyles as a starter, I obviously we know how Pop likes to fluctuate the lineup for each matchup depending on which team is going to play. But if Trey Lyles is going to be a starter for a long time, I'm not against it. The guy, you know, he got some slack from fans whenever he was signed, but he proved himself last night at 8 points. He hit the boards. He had some nice, he had a couple, I think he had a couple of blocks in there. I mean, he's a nice, solid pickup for the Spurs. So, I mean, overall for the win, not too happy with how it happened because it should have been an easy blowout win. But overall, I'm happy that they got off on the right foot.
Yeah, so you kind of went into, you've already kind of gone over a few of the topics that I want to discuss here in terms of the players. So let's go ahead and, I'm just going to dive a little bit into those players that you mentioned there, Stephen. DeJounte Murray was the guy I wanted to kick the show off with. And, yep. You know, he does finish 18 points, 7 to 10 shooting, just really efficient from the floor. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 4 turnovers, and 20. And the thing is, he only played 24 minutes. Pop's still being very safe with his minutes to make sure, you know, he's coming off this horrific ACL injury that made him miss a whole year. And so Pop's making sure, you know, too, making sure not to throw him straight into the fire. And even though he's starting, he's still giving him his time to make sure that he's okay. He's not trying to force him out there on the court. One of the big shots he made, I know that most of the night, you know, I was watching him, and I even got some comments on Twitter through the first three quarters is, you know, oh, he's still not in a real game now, a regular season game. He's still not taking the jumper. He's scared to take the jumper. But we saw there in that fourth quarter that as he got more comfortable throughout the game, we saw him take that corner three, no hesitation, and he made it to give the Spurs a pretty good lead and shift the momentum. He scored most of his baskets in the paint where he can just get by guys. He reminds me a lot of what Russell Westbrook is able to do, where he can grab a defensive board and just immediately you're on your heels as a defense. And he did that to the Knicks where he got and ones. He was getting in the paint against them. I mean, he's just so athletic and so quick in those little slashing moves to get his layups and shots in the paint. So, I mean, I would actually argue that DeJounte didn't need to worry about his jumper yesterday because he could just basically get into the paint whenever he was a primary ball handler. One thing I saw that I noticed in the preseason too that this was happening was that Pop's trying to get him some minutes without LaMarcus and without DeRozan on the floor. And so you talked about earlier about him, maybe possibly one day getting to becoming the Spurs' cornerstone and maybe not as great as Kawhi ever was, but getting to see, you know, we've already seen now that the Spurs eventually let Kawhi grow on his own what he can become. You know, that's what I want to see from DeJounte is what kind of player on offense can he be? We know he's an elite defender already, but what kind of player can he be on offense? And that's like untapped potential there. However, I really, really feel that he gets I really don't like seeing him play alongside Aldridge and DeRozan because the style of play totally changes. He is a point guard, but it's just not an efficient way for him to use his best skill set, which is his athleticism, his quickness, his ability to get out on the open floor. And so whenever you saw him out there with the second unit and he got to play by himself for the second quarter and fourth quarter, he played really well. You know, that's actually when they were leading by 16 was when DeJounte was in charge. He was the main playmaker. He was getting going, the offense going. But then when he has to play with LaMarcus and DeRozan, it's really tough where they're going to have to figure this out because then it becomes into, oh, we got to get LaMarcus's post-ups. Oh, we got to let DeRozan run a pick and roll. And it's just like, and what are you doing now? DeJounte doesn't have the ball in his hands, and he's just basically, you know, just your normal, point guard. So I think that's going to be something that they got to really work on finding a good balance. That was something I put on Twitter was, you know, early before the season even started, you know, who ends up being the top leader in usage percentage. And I really want to see DeJounte be the number one playmaker, not DeRozan or Aldridge, even though they are the current, you know, all-stars or the guys that normally lead the team. Because, you know, he, like I said, it's untapped potential offensively for him. And the only way he can grow and learn to make mistakes is if you let him be your primary guy. But I don't know how well that's going to work with Aldridge and DeRozan, you know, since they're in their vet stage of their career and they're ready. You know, they only have a few more years left in their prime. So yeah, Murray, I mean, the numbers even show it. I'm not going to spit out the numbers, but I mean, it's only one game, but I mean, really the team was good with the starting five. But again, when DeRozan and Aldridge went to the floor and it was just DeJounte in charge, the numbers spiked. I mean, he was just, the Spurs went to another level like that. So that's kind of what did you think about the playmaking there in terms of, because you know, the hard thing is that you do have to start all three of them because they're your three best players. But, you know, do you think Pop should continue that staggering where he gets DeJounte his own minutes by himself without the other two guys?
For sure, because, I mean, you know, as you said, you pointed out perfectly. I mean, DeJounte kind of took over whenever he was with that bench unit. And that's the DeJounte I was expecting with the starting unit. And, I mean, as you said, DeRozan has to get his ISO play. LaMarcus has to get his post-ups. And we'll talk more into that in a minute when we go into LaMarcus and DeMar. But if you, I mean, you know this, Paul. I know this. Anyone who's covered the Spurs or watched the Spurs know this. And there's no secret. Players like DeMar and LaMarcus are rhythm players. You have to get them into a rhythm. You have to get them their posters. You have to get them their touches. Otherwise, if you just give them the ball, they're not like a Steph Curry who can just hit a three without touching the ball for 20 minutes. I mean, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, those are the type of players that LaMarcus and DeMar are. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But on this team, the way it's defined, DeJounte. DeJounte, I mean, it's safe to say, is the driver of this car. You know, when Tony Parker retired, or excuse me, when Tony Parker left to go to Charlotte for that 1 year, which looks kind of pointless now. But anyway, whenever he left, Pop basically gave DeJounte the keys to the car, says, you know what, here, you're going to drive. And I put in my recap last night, it's like, if DeJounte is driving this car, the Spurs have a very bright future ahead of them. And they do. It's just a matter of who you surround him with. And guys like Forbes, Derek White, Trey Lyles, Jakob Poeltl, if you start with guys like that, maybe not those specifically, but players of that caliber, DeJounte is going to be a star in the making. He'll be an all-star in a year or two for sure.
Yeah, and so like you just gave a great reference there when you brought up you know, some of the past players like Tony Parker. So like we saw that transformation where the team, you know, was run by Duncan as the primary guy, and then Manu, you know, and then Manu takes the keys for a little bit, and then Tony's, and then obviously they end up with Tony taking the keys to the car, and then it ends up becoming Kawhi's team. And so that's kind of where you have to find that balance. And we knew that Tim, Tony, and Manu were those selfless players who were going to give, you know, they when it was their time to give up the keys, they were going to do that. So we'll see now, you know, if DeJounte continues to show these really strong improvements offensively, you know, will LaMarcus and DeRozan be okay with letting him becoming the primary ball handler? That's kind of the question to watch, you know, knowing these guys, you know, in their games and stuff. So that's kind of a good thing to watch, is to see what happens. And so I was really encouraged last night that when I look up the usage numbers, that DeJounte was number one. He was the primary playmaker, and then it was DeRozan and then Aldridge. So again, it's just one game. Yeah. Let's see how that goes for 20 games in, and see if that's still the case. Well, go ahead.
I might have an answer to that question when we go in touch into LaMarcus and DeMar. I mean, I have an interesting take on that, so we'll go into that.
Okay. Let's go to the second guy you mentioned earlier, Stephen. That's Bryn Forbes. I wanted to highlight him. You know, he had a really strong preseason. You know, he was basically getting like 15 to 20 points a night in some of those preseason games. And I know it's just preseason, but he looked like the most confident, comfortable Spur out there. And then he's so efficient because he plays the game to today's math. All the mathematic, you know, people like him because he fits to his game. He goes for threes first. If it's not there, he'll try to look at driving to the rim. And then if that's not there, he will take a mid-range jumper. And the thing is, what I like about Bryn is that he's actually a really good, efficient mid-range shooter. He doesn't just take them, you know, because he you know, that's just the only thing he's going to do. He does it because, you know, somebody ran him off the three-point line, and that's the only place where he can get a good shot. And he's such a high, efficient shooter that it's actually a good shot for him. I'm actually encouraged when Bryn takes mid-range jumpers because he's actually a very efficient shooter. And like you mentioned, Stephen, LaMarcus and DeMar, that's the majority of their shot. But again, they're more rhythm players. Some nights LaMarcus will have it going, but then some nights it's not going to go in. And same thing for DeMar, where it's going to be going in, or last night was a night where it's not. And then all of a sudden, mathematically, you're already behind with those types of shots. So let's talk about Bryn just a little bit here. You know, he just continues a strong place, finishes with 20 points, 7-12 shooting from the floor. Like I mentioned, mixed it up. And he was responsible for three of the Spurs' seven made threes. And that was something we saw in the preseason, where this is a very low-volume three-point shooting team. And so Bryn is responsible for a lot of their three-point makes, and he continued that last night. And then you talked about earlier about, you know, having to get into rhythm for LaMarcus and DeMar, whereas Bryn is the opposite. Check this out. Out of the five starters last night, he's fourth in usage. Only 14.3% of the possessions were taken a shot or assisted or turned over by him, and he still was like the second leading scorer and such efficient shot making too. So that's the thing about him is I wrote down here on my notes, he's a quick decision maker. He doesn't hold the ball. He's either going to shoot the shot or if you're running him off the three-point line, he's running it. He's either going toward the rim or he's going to take that, that mid-range jumper. What have you thought about Bryn's progression? Because I think like he is he showed me in the preseason that he was playing a lot better, and then I think he's going to continue this coming into this season.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Becky Hammon first took over the Spurs summer league squad, and she won that summer championship, mm-hmm. and Bryn Forbes was the guy. At that time, he was the one of the main reasons why the Spurs won that summer championship. And Becky had nothing but praise for Bryn Forbes. Obviously, Bryn Forbes made the Spurs roster. He went to the D League, to the Austin Spurs or Toros, whatever they were called at that time. They'd already changed the name. And he worked. Obviously, he worked his way up. Now he's just started with the main squad. And to see that progression from where he went from summer league to now. It's just fantastic. That is what this whole process is about. The whole D League, G League, you know, going, earning your stripes, so to speak. That's what this is about. And to see how he has done is fantastic. I mean, you know, Bryn Forbes is going to get paid whenever his time is up. He will get paid. Hopefully the Spurs have money to keep him. We can talk about that in the future, not now. But I mean, the guy is a baller. I mean, I love his shot. I think Pop said it last season. Anytime he shoots it, I think it's going to go in.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Honestly, I thought that too.
I do too.
I really thought, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to make it. I'm shocked when it doesn't go in. I think he hit one from like a few feet back in Wednesday's game, too. And that reminded me kind of like a Steph Curry type of shot there. And that was just fantastic to watch. Now, you mentioned, Paul, the Spurs are not a prolific three-point shooting team. Last night they went 7 of 21 from 3, I believe. I have it in front of me. Yeah, 7 of 21 from 3 last night. So, or Thursday night if you're listening to this on a Friday. Wednesday. Anyway, so that's the thing that's more concerning to me than anything else. Not Bryn's play, but the fact that this person had a three-point shooting team. Last season they were the fewest in the league in attempts. And, I mean, that's the way the league is going. You have to adapt and shoot the three ball. I mean, everybody's doing it now, whether it goes in or not, everyone's shooting threes. And the fact that the Spurs want to stick to that style of grind it out post offense because of LaMarcus and you got DeMar's ISO play. I mean, that's where I think the Spurs really need to is that next level of hitting threes. Having a guy like Bryn Forbes, that's where you want to go. Guys like Bryn Forbes, DeJounte hit a three, as you mentioned last night.
Yeah.
Forbes, I mean, we saw Rudy Gay had some struggles a little bit. Patty hit a three. So, I mean, LaMarcus had the one he took randomly. So, I mean, there's no saying the Spurs are working on their threes. They are. Apparently, DeMar had some in preseason. LaMarcus has been working on some. Bruno Forbes is going to get his. So, I mean, that's where I'm more concerned with this team moving forward. But as far as Bryn Forbes goes, I mean, the guy's going to get paid. There's no doubt about it. He is honestly the guy I would go to if the Spurs are ever in need of a big bucket, not DeMar, not LaMarcus, maybe DeJounte or Forbes are my two right now. And it's early, but I would go to them if I need a big bucket late in the game.
Yeah. Especially what Bryn is, if it's like if you're down three and you need like something off the screen, like how they used to run for Danny Green back in the day, that's
exactly.
See for sure. And I mean, I know people on Twitter get mad at me, but I purposely put the shot selection because, like you just said, they took 21 threes last night. That's it, just 21, whereas they took 20 mid-range jumpers. It's like, come on, what are you doing? And plus the stats show that the three-point shot is always going to be more efficient. I mean, it's just mathematically now in today's NBA. And that's kind of why Pop mentioned it too, you know, before the season that, you know, they want to try to work on increasing threes. But again, it's just one game, but I do think that Bryn's on the right track already, trajectory for this season. Let's now go ahead and dive into DeMar because he did have a rough game on opening night. So he finishes with 13 points total, 3 of 10 shooting, 7 of 11 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 turnovers in about 31 minutes. So it was mainly the first through third quarter where he really struggled. Pop even said, you know, he had a really bad first half. He complimented him, said he didn't hang his head at halftime. He ended up just coming out and staying strong. DeJounte Murray was very gave him a lot of credit too, saying that, you know, that's why he's an all-star. He's a vet. He called him a real vet. Says that, you know, he knows not to just get down on one game. So like the first to third quarter, look, the numbers are really bad. So 0 of 5 shooting, 3 of 6 free throws, 1 assist, 4 turnovers. He was a minus 24.1 points per 100 possessions when he was on the floor in 23 minutes in those first three quarters. Then he had he finally broke out in the fourth quarter. He played a lot better. He shot 3 of 5 from the floor, made 4 or 5 free throws, dishes 3 assists, scores 10 points. And then in that time, he wasn't a negative. He was a plus 71.3 points per 100 in those 8 minutes of the fourth. So I know it's only one game, but what did you think about DeRozan's tough night?
See, as you said, it's only one game. So I'm not going to say the sky's falling off, we got to trade him now. No, I'm not saying any of that. But yeah. I mean, it's an interesting one because this is what I was going to say earlier. DeJounte Murray has the keys to the car. He mm-hmm. is the driver of this offense right now. And I'm going to be real. I don't think DeMar DeRozan can handle it. And what I mean by that is this. In Toronto, he was the guy mm-hmm. for a lot of the time until Kyle Lowry got there. When Kyle Lowry got there, Kyle Lowry started taking that guy, quote unquote, main guy role from him. And now we know, obviously, it led him being traded. And he didn't want to be traded, this whole thing. We all know what happened. But when Kyle Lowry was getting his stuff in Toronto, getting those shots, getting those big points, DeRozan struggled. And we're starting mm-hmm. to see that happen again. It is one game, so I'm not going to say that's panic. But the Spurs have to figure out how to get DeRozan in a rhythm off the ball. And mm-hmm. DeRozan doesn't seem – I'm not talking of last night because it's just one game, but I'm looking at his career as a whole. He's never really been a good off-the-ball player. He's always been a good, I got to get my shots, I got to get into rhythm type of player. I got to do the mid-range. I got to go inside, do an ISO play. That's the type of player he's always been. And that's fine for him. That's fantastic. But when you said to yourself, when DeRozan and LaMarcus are in, it kind of diminishes DeJounte's game.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see DeJounte's game diminish. I know you don't either. But also, you have to remember, LaMarcus and DeMar are the main two guys on this roster right now, other than DeJounte. So Pop has to figure out how to get DeRozan into a rhythm and keep him in this game off the ball, because if he's doing off the ball stuff, it's going to be better for him offensively. But he just has to kind of figure that out. And I think if he figures out sooner rather than later, it's better. But I mean, right now, I think that's what his main struggles came with. He wasn't in a rhythm. The shots, he was 0 of 5?
Yeah, early? In the first three quarters.
Yeah, so he was 0 of 5 in the first three quarters because he wasn't in a rhythm. But when DeJounte sat down and DeMar came in, DeMar took over, went to the rim, got some foul, he got an and one. So we saw that. So I think that with DeJounte being the main man, I think that's kind of like messing up with DeMar's rhythm a little bit, because last season he was the man, DeMar, because there was no DeJounte.
Yeah. And so I think one thing there is like, and you were right, like he was like, not only was he just their like one of their main scorers, but he was also their playmaker. You know, he was like in the top 98 percentile of assist percentage for a wing. And again, because, you know, he was flanked there by Derek White, who's not as aggressive. You know, Derek White makes good plays. He can run your ball club, but he's not an aggressive scorer like DeJounte is, or a guy who gets into the paint and gets really, really aggressive in terms of physicality, you know, getting fouled and stuff like that, like we saw from DeJounte last night. So Derek is more of a very like, you know, I'm gonna do the right point guard duties and kind of just get the ball to where it needs to go. And DeMar, if you want to run the pick and roll, you know, five times in a row because you have your shot going, or because you're finding the 3-point shooters, that's fine. So that's kind of where I think you're right, Stephen, where it's going to be a transition and see, can he adapt to this role of now you're adding a third guy basically in terms of the top three playmakers who is more aggressive, who's actually in DeJounte, who can actually run his own pick and rolls. He can ISO himself. He can, especially like I said, he's almost like Russ when he gets those defense rebounds and kind of just gets going in the open court. Well, then DeJounte DeRozan and LaMarcus have no chance even getting a chance in those possessions, because again, they're not running gun type players. They're more mm-hmm. half court oriented, like I mentioned, and the stats show it. I mean, they're not going to lie. The stats are there too. So I think that you're right. You know, it's only one game, so we don't want to harp too much on this, but it is going to be more of a transition or a change for DeMar and LaMarcus to figure out how can they coexist with Murray by them. So those two staying effective and efficient while also letting Murray not stunting Murray's growth. And I think LaMarcus is okay because he had a pretty good game last night. He had basically like an average game for himself, like his mm-hmm. normal line that he would put up. So I think that it's right now out of one game only, we've already seen that it's going to be DeRozan who has to kind of work on his game and figure out where is he going to fit in off the ball and those kind of things and sharing the responsibility. So I don't really have LaMarcus on my list of players I want to talk about, because he basically, for me, like I said, 22 points, 8 of 15 shooting, you know, got his mid-range shots, got to the free throw line. All, you know, the normal LaMarcus things, got some shots in the paint. You know, the 1-3 he did take is because there was like 5 seconds left on the shot clock and he was kind of forced to take it. He had 8 rebounds, like I mentioned. You know, pretty decent defense, 2 blocks. So what did you want to say about LaMarcus? Because, I mean, for me, it was just like a normal LaMarcus game. I didn't see anything that stood out.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really special with LaMarcus. I mean, not to say he's not a special player, but I mean, it's just the typical LaMarcus game from him. I mean, he hit the boards, he had a couple blocks, he put up his usual points. So, I mean, you know, great. I mean, if LaMarcus can play like that consistently for the whole season, and DeJounte can play like that, and Brent Forbes, I think the Spurs will be fine.
Yeah, so not too much on LaMarcus. You know, he played pretty well for them, was their leading scorer. Let's go into a topic that I actually didn't have on my notes, Stephen, but you wanted to bring this up because it's pretty much the topic of Spurs Twitter.
That is the
current situation with Lonnie Walker the fourth not playing. And also, I would even throw in Damari Carroll. A lot of fans were mad about Damari Carroll not playing in the opening night. Why did they pay him $7 million or $9 million, whatever it is, to just sit on the bench? And, you know, and then, you know, Solani and Damari Carroll both didn't get any minutes. Marco Bellinelli, who is the one who's basically like, he's like the, you know, Spurs Twitter used to like Danny Green a lot for a lot of years. They would always, you know, go after Danny Green and Pal Gasol and then Patty Mills. Well, that criticism is being shifted toward Marco Bellinelli this year. You know, even before the season even starts, even through the summer, once they added Damari, and then also you know, as Lonnie broke out in summer league where he had a really strong performance, people thought that automatically Lonnie Walker or Damari would be the backup small forward behind DeMar DeRozan. But that's not the case. I mean, we saw it in preseason. Pop is still going to go with his vet, the guy who was there all of last year, the guy who provides spacing in Marco Bellinelli. And, you know, Bellinelli's night wasn't good to defend his case here last night. He one of two shots, 3 points. Let me see. Did he turn the ball? Yeah, one turnover. I mean, really, the Knicks did a great job. I think they know that what he does. They scouted him pretty well. So and he played 18 minutes and really didn't provide a lot on the game. And we know that defensively, he's not going to give you much. That those other two guys could give you way more. So go ahead and discuss the battle right now for that role of backup small forward.
My message to Spurs Twitter, and I'm sure I'm going to get hate, so it's perfectly fine. I'm used to it, which is calm the hell down. I mean, it's one game. It is one game. It's not like we're in game 86 or 84 or it's preseason or it's playoffs or something. It's one game in October. Calm down. I mean, will Lonnie actually get some playing time this season? Who knows? I mean, Marco play so bad that Pop may be forced to play Lonnie. Who knows what's going to happen? But right now, I'll just say this. Pop loves his veterans. You know this. I know this. Mike and everyone who covers the Spurs knows Pop loves his veterans. Okay? Marco Bellinelli is that guy who has won a championship with the Spurs. He's been that reliable shooter whenever you need a big bucket, even though he missed he misses 10 in a row. The 11th one, if the Spurs need it, he usually makes it. So he's that guy you know you can rely on to make a bucket in clutch time if the time is right. And Lonnie Walker, from what I understand, did not have a good preseason overall. There was one game, the last game, I believe it was Miami
Memphis.
Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I believe he had a bad game from what I heard. I did not see preseason. You did, so you could probably tell me. But, I mean, apparently he didn't have a good preseason. Damari Carroll, from what I understand from reading Jeff McDonald's pieces, is he's kind of not really understanding the Spurs system at the moment. He kind of struggled in the Spurs system. So that's why those two are not getting minutes. Damari Carroll is a veteran in the NBA. I do believe he will get minutes. Pop is still trying to figure out his rotations. I mean, we all know Pop does this every season. Pop figures out his rotations until around Christmas time, I believe, is when he really kind of sets in on a solid rotation and gets the guys he really are benefiting this club. So all of Spurs Twitter harping about Lonnie Walker, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I have my opinions too. I want Lonnie to play. I'm on you guys' side. I want Lonnie to play. I'm excited to see what he can do with DeJounte and Derek White and Trey Lyles and all these guys out there. I want to see that. But right now, Pop is the coach of this team, and Pop sees stuff that you and I don't see on a daily basis. We don't know what goes on in practices or what they talk about or what Lonnie does or whatever. No one does. So, I mean, I trust Pop's judgment on this. I do want Lonnie to play, and I do think Lonnie will play as the season goes on. I do believe he'll get those minutes. I believe Damari Carroll will get those minutes. They didn't bring both of them here just to sit on the bench. Let's be real. They're going to play, but it's just going to take time. That's the whole thing I'm saying. I love them both. I love Damari's game. I loved Lonnie's game. Lonnie killed it in summer league. We all saw it. So it was just a matter of finding his rhythm and earning those minutes. And I do believe he will earn those minutes. I do believe it for sure.
Yeah, so you know, you were talking about you know, the chance of him playing eventually this year. I think that it's definitely the plan for Lonnie to play, because yesterday before the game, I didn't tweet this out, but Pop had a pretty long quote just talking about like the team, you know, entering the season before the game began, and he basically said, you know, he was mentioning like all the players are adding, and he mentioned like adding Lonnie to the mix now and getting him some minutes is what he kind of said is like the overall plan. So I think that in the long game, Lonnie will be getting his chance at getting trying to earn a role this year. Now,
for sure,
now, obviously, it may not happen the first 10 or 20 games. You know, by Thanksgiving, he still might not be playing. But I think that before you know, at least February or the All-Star break, he's going to get his chance at some kind of games and minutes. So I think that Pop knows in the long term he's gonna have to try out Lonnie. And like I said, Bellinelli didn't help himself in the first game, and then what's it called? Damari Carroll too. One thing I did notice with Carroll is every time the Spurs were playing the preseason, it was either like if Rudy Gay was sitting out, Damari Carroll would get a bunch of minutes. And then when Rudy Gay was there, Damari Carroll didn't play really that much. So I was like, wait a minute, how's this going to work when Rudy's actually there and everybody's there, like present? And that's what we found out was that Damari's pretty much playing the backup four for the Spurs. And so if you can't get him minutes because Rudy's healthy and he's there, and also Trey Lyles, like we mentioned, then the only place for him to get minutes is at that backup small four. So it's not just so Marco Bellinelli actually needs to watch out, because he doesn't have a secure spot right now, because not only is Lonnie trying to get some minutes, to get his minutes, take control of those minutes, but also Damari is also looking at that backup small forward spot. So there's definitely going to be some competition this season for that backup small forward role, as long as everybody stays healthy. And so we'll see. You're right, Steven. Maybe by like Christmas, we'll finally know, you know, who is exactly going to be that backup small forward for Pop, who has earned that spot.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say about Lonnie, you know, he did have a very inconsistent preseason, especially offensively. But I think that the game that really showed you what he can be defensively and adds so much to this team is that game against Houston, when he played a lot of minutes against Russell Westbrook and James Harden. I mean, he had a possession where Harden gets by him, and then he goes by and kind of blocks him, you know, on a help defensive play. So, I mean, that athleticism, he can just use it on defense, and it's so much more than what Bellinelli can give you at this moment, and probably even more than what Carroll can give you. So that's why I think that I, too, I know I know Spurs Twitter gets really upset. They're like, why? Because they were even sending the tweets to me and Jeff McDonald, like, why don't you ask Pop about why he's not playing? It's like, because we already know what the answer is going to be. He's going to, you know, it's only year two. It's just started. He'll eventually get his chance. But again, I actually do want to see Lonnie Walker also play this season. I actually want to see, I just want to see what he can do. It's just like, Same. It's just like what I said with DeJounte and DeRozan and Aldridge. It's like, I want to see what DeJounte can be as a main playmaker. Now, are we going to get that? I can't say for sure. But you know, we'll see. So again, I think down the line in the long run, Lonnie will get a shot. You know, when he gets those games of 5 to about 15 games, when he actually gets a shot, is he going to make the most of it? Now, that's a big question too. Is he, you know, Pop will probably give him a shot to get some minutes there, and does he take advantage? Because if he doesn't, well, then hey, he could find himself buried again. Like I think Corey Joseph, there was like almost 1 or 3 years between 1 and 3 years where he would just find himself on the bench each season. He could rarely get into the rotation.
One thing I want to touch on before you move on is that Derek White also did not have a Derek White type game that we saw last season, in the preseason and first game of the regular season. We did not see him have a really strong performance. Now, does that mean that Derek White's going to be horrible for the rest of the season? Of course not. But I want to see Derek White, Lonnie, DeJounte, the real quote-unquote future of this Spurs team, together on the floor with LaMarcus, and to see what really can happen with this club. And it's going to happen over time because, I mean, like I said, this is the direction Pop wants to put this team in. You add in Keldon Johnson, Luka, they just got the draft in a couple of years. This Spurs team is going to be very, very good. So, I mean, it's just a matter of earning those minutes and being patient. And Derek White is the prime example of that. He got invited to Team USA over the summer. He was a main focus in the playoffs for the Spurs a year ago, in the regular season a year ago. So, I mean, just be patient, guys. Lonnie will get his time. And when he does, just imagine how this Spurs team is going to be.
Yeah, and but like we also mentioned, Lonnie has to make the most of it when he does get that chance.
True, very true.
Yeah, and also one thing you brought up Derek, and I do want to talk about something. One thing I did notice is that Pop also continues to like to get Derek some minutes with the starters, like so when he pulls DeJounte out midway through the quarter. And the reason for that is because Derek is actually I think Derek makes LaMarcus and DeRozan a little bit more comfortable because he plays the slower pace. He's more half court oriented type point guard, and so he gets them into their spots. You know, gets LaMarcus the post entry where he wants it. Gets DeRozan to run his pick and rolls or his zipper plays. So there's different sets that those guys are more comfortable because they spent a whole year with Derek last year as their point guard. So I think that's something we're going to continue to see is that you know, Derek will also get some more minutes with the starters, maybe not starting the game, but at least getting some run with them. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the latest news, Steven. So there's actually been a lot this week for this supposed to be, you know, opening week in terms of contracts and things like that. So the first big news on Monday, the Spurs, you know, a lot of players around the NBA, the young players are coming to agreements on extensions with their teams. The Spurs actually got DeJounte Murray extended for 4 years, $64 million, which is an average of $16 million a year. This is a really, really good contract. You know, compared to Jaylen Brown and Sabonis and some of these other guys that were signing deals, Buddy Hield, everyone's like, oh, the Spurs got to steal, which is true because we've already seen how great DeJounte was already in one game. But you have to remember where the Spurs were. Now, I don't know if it was you who was my guest or somebody this past summer was my guest. I think it was Colin Reed. And we were talking about, you know, what's the chances of the Spurs giving DeJounte a contract extension. And at that time, I had said, I'm not very confident it's going to happen just because, again, we had seen zero games that he was going to be healthy. He was coming off that horrific ACL injury. And so I think I had told Colin that day, you know, if they give him a contract, I think they'll give him something close to what Dante Exum got a few years ago, which was like in the about the $10 million range, you know, because again, it was more of the Jazz saying, okay, Exum, you're hurt again, you know, but we still believe in you. We think you can grow when you actually get healthy. So we're going to give you about $10 million. And so he signed it and it was like a 3 or 4 year deal. And so I thought it would be somewhere around there if they did do that. Now, $10 million is really low for DeJounte, so you see that $16 million is a lot better for him. But again, you know, before people start saying steal, you know, is the steal of the day, it is going to be the steal of the day, especially if he continues to stay healthy. But again, the Spurs are doing this because, again, they hadn't seen him play, but they saw he was really strong in those 5 preseason games. He really showed that he's healthy, that he's able to attack the rim. He's fearless. You know, he's not letting the injury, you know, stop him from being aggressive. So, and plus, a point guard is a position that every team would jump on in free agency in the open market this coming summer. So that's why I think that they were able to come to this conclusion, and they did, you know, get DeJounte. Now, this is obviously when he becomes, you know, gets – if he can continue putting up 18-8-6 like this, this is going to definitely be a steal. But again, they're also making sure that he's going to be okay. Okay, long term with his health. So, what did you think about this deal?
Sorry, distracted by the trees. Anyway, blowing in on my window here. No, but so I mean, the deal's great. I mean, I do believe it is a steal. You point out some of those numbers that other guys have gotten. It's a massive steal. And I believe you can correct me if I'm wrong here. I believe you tweeted out yesterday, I believe, that the Spurs are setting themselves up for like $80-something million.
In cap space in 2021. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all know the Spurs are looking long term down the line, 2-3 years down the line. Hence the draft picks of Luka, Keldon Johnson, Lonnie, you know, all the Derek White, all those guys are down the line players. Well, most of them are down the line players. Same thing with the financial situation. I mean, Derek White for 4 years, $64 million. I will take that every day.
DeJounte, right?
Yeah. If he can put up numbers like that. And if you look in, I believe it was 2021, guys like LaMarcus's contract will be done by 2021. Yep. We still don't know the whole situation with DeMar's contract yet, but we'll get to that in a second. So the Spurs are setting themselves up nicely to get a nice free agent if LaMarcus and DeMar experiment does not work out how the Spurs want it to. The Spurs are setting themselves up nicely to do that. And DeJounte's deal is a massive part of that because, like I say, you're getting him for a steal because if he can play like this consistently, and heck, even if he exceeds the expectations that are on him right now, that's going to look at the Spurs. People going to look at the Spurs and be like, wow, you just got this guy for a cheap price, considering what some of the other guys are going for. Like, I believe Ben Simmons got like $100-something million for his deal. Yeah. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, but DeJounte's deal is a steal. And I think in the long run, financially, it's going to help the Spurs regardless of the situation. Because if you remember that Patty Mills contract, that Pau Gasol contract, I mean, I don't think it's RC and Pop and the guys want a repeat of a situation like that. considering his injury. And mm-hmm. but again, the way he played on an opening night proves that this could be a real steal.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about, you know, down the line what he can turn into, and really, like, if he ends up becoming, like, down the line, say 2 or 3 years from now, he ends up becoming like a borderline all-star or even an all-star, yeah. Well, then he's gonna end up becoming like what, remember how they used to talk about Steph Curry, like they were like, wow, the Warriors got a steal, because remember for yep. like 2 or 3 years Steph was only making like $12 million, but yep. again, Steph was in the same situation. He had all those ankle injuries really early on in his career, so the Warriors mm-hmm. got him a deal at a lower price. And then obviously, you know, now he's getting a max. But again, mm-hmm. that could end up being DeJounte, where, you know, yep. the Spurs got a lower number with him only because of the circumstance, because of where he was, you know, with the ACL injury. He hadn't played a game until these past 5 preseason games before last right. night. So again, 2 years from now, if DeJounte is an all-star, I mean, this is going to look like a mega steal for the Spurs. And so we'll go back to this moment of, you know, of why this was the situation. Some other news, Stephen, about the roster is on Tuesday, the Spurs did something very early. They guaranteed LaMarcus Aldridge's 2020 salary. So this season, LaMarcus is making his full guaranteed salary, but then next season, 2020, he only had partially guaranteed $7 million, and the Spurs had until June 29, 2020 to make that choice of whether they're going to guarantee that full salary for 24 million. Well, mm-hmm. they actually did it yesterday, which is, you know, it kind of puzzled a lot of people because it's barely October. You know, why don't normally these kind of deals get done where they say, okay, we're extending you or we're guaranteeing your money, usually like after the season ends, like in April. So, you know, for me, I was kind of like, you know, the questions went up for me. I was like, okay, why are they doing this so early? So I kind of started digging in to the contract situations. And really, from what I can see, it doesn't have any bearing on if, you know, is there a trade coming or anything like that. I don't see that down the line, because even if you're going to trade him, you're still using this year's salary. It's not like you have to worry about that extra salary for next year.
Right.
So what I took away from it is we're all in for these next 2 years with you as our big guy. So like you said, Steven, in 2021, LaMarcus will now become a free agent. So I think that the Spurs are giving him and this core, maybe DeRozan's included in that, and plus, you know, DeJounte, Derek White, all these young guys that you just mentioned, they're giving this squad, Rudy Gay's on that type of deal too, till 2021. They're basically on this year and next year, 2 year run basically, to see what they can do. You know, how much damage can they cause in the playoffs? You know, how far right. can they go? So I think that's kind of what it signals to me, is that they're committing to LaMarcus early, saying, hey, you're our big guy for these next 2 years. Let's see how far you can take the squad. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I thought too, because I mean, again, the Spurs and LaMarcus had I think it's fair to say a shaky start, you know, a little bit shaky start, where, you know, when he first got here, he didn't exceed expectations like many fans wanted him to. And LaMarcus himself even admitted, you know, I wasn't expecting this either. But of course, we know Pop and him had that talk, and now everything's cool. You're right. That's exactly what this is. This deal is a 2 year window. Okay, we're giving you 2 years, either get a championship or get as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see how far you can get. And if it doesn't work out, then boom, the experiment's over. I do believe DeRozan will be a part of that too, because I don't see a situation where any other team other than a quote unquote below 500 team will want DeRozan for the price that they're asking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all that type of situation. So I mean, I do believe DeRozan will be part of that deal. Whether he gets the extension done or not is another story, but I do believe he'll be part of that deal as well. As will some of the other guys. If it does not work out, then I do believe that's where the Spurs kind of set the sails on both DeMar and LaMarcus. But as for these next 2 years, I don't see an issue with it. I really don't. I mean, I know there's some people on Twitter who say that, you know, LaMarcus is a soft and blah, blah, blah. But look at what he does right now. He is without LaMarcus, says 22 points. Yesterday, the Spurs would not have won, even with DeJounte playing as well as he did. So, I mean, if LaMarcus has earned it, in my opinion, the last 2 seasons, he's completely balled out. He's been a beast on the offensive glass. I mean, on the offensive side, and defensively, he's been a beast on the glass. He's gotten some. He's been a massive part of the Spurs defense. I think he's earned that every single dollar of that $24 million contract. I do. And as you said, this is kind of like the window is right here, right now. So we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah. And so they got LaMarcus locked up for 2 years. And I mean, if it was a trade scenario, then it would just be telling the trading team, well, then, hey, if we traded you LaMarcus, you know, you're getting him for 2 years on his deal. It's not like you have to worry about a 1 year deal. It's right. A 2 year deal now. So that's the case if it was a trade. But again, it doesn't signal. Yeah, me either. It doesn't signal that any kind of trades, unless, you know, something does happen this year where he's not happy being like the third option. Let's say DeJounte does take off and become, you know, the Spurs' primary guy. Well, then maybe he has talks pop again. Hey, maybe I do want to get traded by before February. Well, then that could be the case. But again, that's like a very extreme hypothetical that we're not going to get into. All right, Stephen, the last two pieces of news that came out this past week were because that extension deadline on Monday that passed, Jakob Poeltl did not get a new contract extension like DeJounte. And I wrote a big piece on Project Spurs about this because I was getting a lot of questions on Twitter. It's like, oh, why didn't they extend Poeltl? He's good and all these things. And I was like, yeah, but just when you look at the primary position of each player, DeJounte is a guard, a defensive guard who has untapped potential athletically to become, you know, who knows what offensively. There was going to be a market for DeJounte basically had they let him go into free agency. Jakob, you know, every year I do my analyzing the league. I do my normal like free agent breakdown of who's available. And every year, Steven, every summer, the big man list just gets further and further where big men are just not getting jobs in today's NBA. I mean, unless you're like Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, we've already seen it. Mathematics, the small ball is just getting rid of centers, your traditional 7 foot centers. And Jakob's actually a good player who teams would want. But again, you know, he's not an all-star level player. He's just a role player. Like you see here, look at his stat line from last night. Comes off the bench, 6 points, four rebounds. That's a really solid game. He's a really good defender. But again, he's not going to be a guy who's going to command over $10 million. So the Spurs have him as a restricted free agent this summer. So the smart play for them is to say, okay, when June 29th comes, they tender Jakob, they make him a restricted free agent, which means they have 2 days to match any offer he gets. And then they tell Jakob, okay, go ahead and go see what you can get from another team. And I doubt that, especially with how a lot of teams don't have a lot of cap space this summer, I doubt that anyone's going to give him more than at max the mid-level exception of like $9.3 million or $9.8 million, whatever it is. So I doubt that he gets more than $10 million. And if they do give him that mid-level, well, then the Spurs can say, okay, we really like Jakob. We'll match that deal for 3 or 4 years, whatever it is. I just don't see him being a guy who's going to get over 10 to 15 million that the Spurs would be actually fret about matching it. So I think that's why they didn't extend Jakob is that there's not going to be as big of a market for him as there would have been with DeJounte. So I think that they're just going to – I think that the future still looks good at them keeping Jakob long-term. But again, for him, the market's going to have to dictate how much he's going to earn, and he's going to have to bring an offer sheet to the Spurs. What do you think about Jakob not getting that extension?
I'm okay with it, actually. I mean, this is coming from someone who actually loved Jakob and when he first got here last season, and it's after one game, the guy's proven himself great. I mean, he's a solid pickup for the Spurs, and I know myself included, when the Spurs first announced, oh, the Spurs got DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl in a trade, and I'm like, who the hell is Jakob Poeltl? Like, I didn't know who he was, and I mean, I was like, oh yeah, that guy. But I mean, you know, he's proven himself. The guy is a very solid big man, but you're right. The big man game is slowly dying out. The days of the Twin Towers, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, those type of days are over, unfortunately. As someone who loves basketball and has watched the Spurs since he was about 7 years old, I've seen the transition, and I'm not a fan of where the NBA is going towards the small ball. I get it's exciting, but I'm just a real like purist when it comes to the basketball. I really am. But, as far as Jakob's deal goes, I'm okay with him not getting the extension because, as you said, he's not going to require that much money. He's not going to go out and get $20-something million. He's not going to go get $15 million. He's going to get the mid-level exception, and I do believe the Spurs will match it unless it's something completely outrageous, which, again, I don't see happening. But I do believe the Spurs will have Jakob on the roster next year. I don't see a situation where he – gets overpaid like Boban Marjanovic. I don't see a situation where he gets overpaid like that. I do see a situation where the Spurs will either match a deal that he gets from another team, or they will sign him to a contract themselves.
Yeah, that's also an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very minimal type deal, maybe a 1 to 2 year deal worth, you know, the least amount of money possible. Because, I mean, Jakob is a very good player, and I would hate to lose him because he is a solid backup big. He's a very solid backup, but not a starter level, but he's a very solid backup that we saw last season, or excuse me, last night. And I do believe that we're going to see that from Jakob this season. If he can tease that bench role, I think Pop and RC and all the guys will be like, you know what? This is a good role for him, and let's restructure his deal.
Yeah, and something else that you have to keep in mind too is that the Spurs still have a really young developing center overseas in Nikola Milutinov. He's over there playing in Greece right now. And this guy, you know, he's been a really good center for Serbia and their national team. And so he can't come over. He every year, you know, you keep thinking the Spurs might bring him over, but there's no room for him because, again, they're just running basically one traditional big. And with Jakob here, I don't know if that guy's ever going to come over. If Jakob signs long-term, like a 3 or 4 year deal, I don't see Milutinov ever getting his chance to come to San Antonio. So again, even if a team does throw a crazy offer that the Spurs don't want to match toward Jakob and he leaves, well then, hey, they still have an insurance plan in Milutinov that they can bring over too. So that's kind of something to keep in mind. All right, Stephen, the last player, we kind of talked about him a while ago, his contract status, and that's DeMar DeRozan. The Spurs didn't extend his contract on Monday, but they don't have to because they actually have, technically, they have to June 30th because DeMar would be doing a veteran extension. He actually has to the end of the season on June 30th. So really, any day now we could get an alert, oh, Spurs and DeMar DeRozan extend contract. You know, it could end up being that. Now, we have gotten some news on that this week. Earlier this week, Mark Stein reported that the Spurs and DeRozan are kind of not close on talks right now on extension. They were having those initial discussions. From DeRozan's perspective, he wants a long-term deal is what's being reported, that he wants, you know, a three or four-year deal probably. From the Spurs' perspective, they don't want to do that. They want to do a short deal, so maybe 1 or 2 years, who knows how long. And again, probably to fit in line with what we talked about earlier, where you want LaMarcus and DeMar probably off the books by 2021 so that you have this young core of players plus a lot of cap space when there's like a bunch of free agents out there, max-level free agents. Now, I know I threw out that number, $80.3 million. That's as of today. It's going to shrink. You know, whoever they draft these next 2 years, it'll make that shrink. Let's say they re-sign Brent Forbes or they re-sign Jakob this summer. Well, then all that money's going to shrink a little bit. But again, they're still projected right now to have a max in 2021 as long as they don't bring any of these guys back, their main guys like LaMarcus or DeMar or even Rudy Gay. So, we're also having that young core. So DeMar, you know, again, he has until June 30th. So really, it's a wait and see mode if they're going to give him that extension. I think the next tentative deadline, really hard deadline, is the trade deadline in February, early February. Because again, if the Spurs do think that he's going to leave this summer, he's going to decline his player option of $27 million and go become an unrestricted free agent. Well, then maybe they do have to look at trading him. But again, you mentioned a great point, Stephen. The only teams with cap space are young rebuilding teams. That's it. Exactly. Like no contenders. If DeMar's looking for a ring or a team where he can actually win games long term, I don't see a team out there right now with enough cap space. So that's why he may actually. I agree with you. I think that he may just opt into his $27.7 million this year, play another year with LaMarcus as them two as the two top guys, and then in 2021 when there's more money available all over the place, then maybe he would want to become an unrestricted free agent. So, what did you think about DeMar's status?
I mean, I was going to make a joke that, you know, if he plays like he did last night, I wouldn't even extend him. But I mean, of course, it's one game. No, but I mean, like I said, you know, I'm not upset about it. I'm not upset about it because, as you said, and I've said it as well, there's no one really that could offer him a max deal or a lot of money unless you're a bottom feeder right now. Mm-hmm. Guy like the Atlanta Hawks, like
the Knicks.
Yeah.
No, they have money. Yeah.
Oh, they have money. So, unless you're a team like that. So, I mean, do I see DeMar going there? I mean, if he wants the money, sure. Why not? But DeMar doesn't strike me as that player of, oh, I want the money. He wants to win. And I mean, we saw it with the Raptors when he was with Toronto. He wants to win. He stuck with that franchise when he had the option to leave and get more money elsewhere. I believe he took a pay cut a few times in Toronto to stay. And while you have the situation where DeMar could leave, I just don't see it happening. I do believe he'll opt in. I understand the Spurs do want to do that 2 year deal. Or it could be a 2 year deal to where he's in 2021 to where him and LaMarcus are off the books by then. And I believe that's exactly what the Spurs want. And people are comparing it. Oh, that's like the Kawhi situation. Not really, because DeMar wants a long-term deal. That means DeMar wants to stay in San Antonio. Yes. DeMar does not want to leave. Whereas the Spurs want to keep DeMar, but a short-term deal. So both sides want to stay with each other. It's just a matter of working out those finer details. And I even tweeted that over the I believe it was last night or whenever the news broke. I tweeted that as well. It's like it's not like the Kawhi situation at all. They both want to stay here. Spurs want to keep him, and he wants to stay. It's just a matter of working out those details. So when it's all said and done, I do believe the Spurs will probably sign him to a 2 year deal, and then kind of work out those kinks later when it comes down to it. Or he will opt in. I don't, let's put it this way. In the 2020-2021 season, DeMar DeRozan will be a Spur. I will be very, very shocked unless he wants to be traded, as you said. I'll be very shocked if he's not a Spur.
Yeah, and so that's kind of, you know, the one hard deadline that we can pretty much watch from now until February is that trade deadline. You know, if that comes and goes and he's still on the Spurs roster, then I think that either the chances of extension look really positive, or a short-term extension, or the chances of him just opting in. I think those are definitely the two options in play. Now, again, if the Spurs get any kind of hint that maybe he is going to think about leaving this summer, and maybe he does want to take a big deal with the Knicks or with Charlotte or somebody. I don't know if there's that situation where maybe his agent tells him, hey, there is a deal out there for you. Well, then, and they think he's going to opt out. Well, and become an unrestricted free agent, then maybe they will look at making some calls and seeing, you know, what can they get for him. But again, that's more of a hypothetical as well. So we'll kind of wait and see. And like we said, at any day right now, you know, it could be tonight. We could get a Woj tweet or a Shams Charania tweet of saying, oh, Spurs and DeMar DeRozan agree on 2 to 4 year deal or something like that. You know, just never know. It could happen again from now until June 30th. So right now with DeMar, it's more of a wait and see mode to see what happens with him. All right, Stephen, thank you for joining me on Spurscast episode. What is it, 755, I believe? Or what is it? 557. Sorry. I've been having my numbers all mixed up. So thank you. Yeah, Spurscast episode 557. Spurscast listeners, if you are on Twitter, please follow Stephen at the Stephen A underscore. Again, that is at the Stephen A underscore. So let me just do a few quick promotional things to check out if you're visiting productspurs.com. Check out Stephen's latest writing. He wrote about the Spurs win over the Knicks. It's called Three Standout Players, about the Spurs and Knicks game. So make sure you check those out. Stephen gives you great recaps and observations after each game, Spurs game this season. If you're a Project Spurs premium member, or if you want to become one, make sure that you sign up with us, $5 a month. We're providing a bunch of different extra features for our site. So the latest thing that I've already released is our regular season offense and defensive game tracker. So right after that Knicks game ended, you know, as soon as I got the box score and I plugged in all the data, and you can see really cool color-coded charts and different things like that about the Spurs' offensive numbers, some of their defensive numbers. So it's the basic idea there is to take you beyond the box score. And then this weekend I'll be releasing a few more databases once I get some more data in from the Spurs. Colin Reed recently wrote about his latest piece is called Preview Top Spurs Storylines Entering the 2019-20 Season. So that's Colin's latest piece on, you know, some of the storylines looking forward to the season. A lot of those me and Stephen did touch on here in this episode. As I mentioned earlier, I did write a piece. If you're really curious about why DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl didn't get contract extensions, you can go ahead and read that piece on Project Spurs called Latest on DeRozan Poeltl Contract Situations, where I go into the details and actually give you the amount of money and all those different details there. Benjamin Bornstein and Joe Garcia did a San Antonio Spurs 2019-20 season video preview for you. So if you want to go check out a video preview of Ben and Joe previewing the season before last night's game, you can check that out. And then lastly, I want to thank Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. So for Steven Anderson, I am Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.